Hey, how's everybody doing? It's been a week, so that means you get another one of these fucking things. This week, our sponsor is not some made-up horseshit that I write down about a minute and a half before the podcast that has alliteration and some demented purpose, like an abortion discount or something like that. This time, it's even better. It's VapoLabs. So VapoLabs. If your usual e-juice is your wife, then VapoLabs Premium Vapor Liquid is your mistress. The best part is there's no more sneaking around, but enjoy all that primal satisfaction and thrill with every hit, when you use VapoLabs Premium e-liquid. Life is short. Enjoy your vape. You will just love Dr. Good's Apollos. Oh, I haven't got to try that one yet, VapoLabs. You haven't sent that one over to the house. Sure you don't want to get on that, huh? Don't want to let me taste it so I can tell the fine people out there how good it is? I think that's appropriate. It's time we showcase the family secret recipe of store-bought apple and cinnamon cereal swimming in ice-cold milk. Store-bought apple. As opposed, do you just have an orchard? Well, that would be the dumbest thing to make fun of. Like, you know how you can make fun of people for like a store-bought pie crust? Where it's like, oh, that's a fucking store-bought pie crust. That's pathetic. Like, come on, make your own pie crust. Making fun of someone for store-bought apples, like, that's another step over the line of, like, well, what do you expect me to fucking do? You want me to have an apple tree? What if I need a different kind of apple? Do you expect me to have the variety of apples available, of trees, like, in my backyard? Can you even grow apple trees just like that? I had a friend who had an apple tree in grade school, and I always thought it would be so neat when I went over there, because he would tell us at school, oh, I have a fucking apple tree, I have a dirty mouth little fucker, I have an apple tree, I have an apple tree. And I was like, all right, Eric, fine, I'm gonna see your apple tree, I'm gonna come over, we're gonna play Star Wars figurines, and I'm gonna eat an apple off that tree, because at the time, that seemed so neat. And I got over there, and it was just, they were shitty, little, hard, like, tumor-esque apples. Like, it looked like something you would cut out of a 30-year, two-pack-a-day smoker's esophagus more than it looked like an apple. And it didn't taste good, and it wasn't a crab apple. So before you comment that and be like, oh, it was a crab apple, you stupid little bitch. It was not. It was not a crab apple. What the fuck am I talking about? I'm doing an ad. It's time we showcase the family secret recipe of store-bought apple, that's what I was talking about, and cinnamon cereal swimming in ice-cold milk. Then enhanced with just a few drops of Papa Steve's sweet snake oil for a hair-growing elixir. No matter what flavor you decide on, they're all eligible for Juice Rewards. Juice Rewards is an innovative rewards program at VapoLabs. Just buy a few bottles, then get a bottle free. It's that easy. Just go ahead and pick up a bottle of e-juice from the only company that will give you free stuff. VapoLab Science, bitch. Please use responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase. Use this product. California Proposition 65. This cotton contains nicotine. God damn it. God, I should have had a drink of that NOS before, because I could feel the back of my throat drying up because I brushed my teeth a few minutes ago, and I got that, like, post-toothbrush minty mouth, and it's not pleasant. Don't forget, use the code MERCA25 for 25% off your e-juice with free shipping, only at VapoLabs.com. That link is below. Be sure to promote and help them out. It's a great product and a good service, and I like the people that I work with over there. They're really neat. They're pretty neat, nice fellas, you know. We're just from Fargo up here, just trying to do our best to just keep out of trouble, you know? Oh, that's such a great series. Did you guys, anybody watch the finale out there? Anybody watch the Fargo finale? I'm not going to spoil anything. Episodes 1 through 9 of that show is fucking incredible. It's awesome. Like, I was so concerned with how the last season ended, the one with Billy Bob Thornton and Martin Short, or the Hobbit guy, whoever plays Bilbo, that guy. It was so well acted and well done that I was concerned for the second season. I was worried it was going to take, like, a True Detective route, where I just couldn't get into the second season of True Detective. I didn't care, whereas I loved the first one. But this one, I love both seasons. It's not until, I guess, the second half of the 9th episode and the 10th and final episode of season 2 of Fargo that it's just kind of like, it's almost like they made so, there were so many threads intertwined and so much story that they kind of lost their own way, and there was, like, no way for them to keep all this shit up. Like, there was no way for them to actually tie it all up in a way that made sense, because there was no fucking way to do it. They had, like, convoluted themselves almost. And so the last episode and a half really kind of blew, and it disappointed me. But you can't be that disappointed. It's just they're Fargo and they're just living up there and really enjoying life, you know? Just having a butcher shop and then every so often a murderer comes to town. But for the most part, it's just Fargo and I like it up here. You know, it's a little snowy and cold, but it's nice. God, I need to start, like, taking voicemails on this show where you guys can call in and ask questions and I can play it and respond to it. And I want only people from that area of the country to call in because, God, like, I know that that's not... I have friends from Minnesota. I grew up playing hockey, so I had a lot of friends when we would travel around the country that were from Minnesota because it's a huge hockey state. And every once in a while, you'd come across, like, a Minnesota kind of guy. Like, almost... It's like Canada Junior up there. Every once in a while, but then... there would be people who sounded like the Fargo people as well. Like, not all of them, not even most, not even, like, a fourth of them. But it's like there's selective accents up there. I don't know the regions for it, but I know that, like, one out of five of you fuckers sounds like you're mentally challenged up there. With that just, like, happy-go-lucky, do-no-wrong, oh, that feller over there wouldn't hurt me. He just needs some directions. Like, that kind of... Like Kirsten Dunst's accent in that show makes her seem like a legitimate crazy person just because of the way she speaks. And it's, man, that would be the worst, most unfortunate accent. Oh, that would be awful to have. I'm sure someone out there listening to this, oh, hey, that's not cool. Oh, that's actual Canadian. That's not Fargo as much, but whatever. Anyway, I've droned on about fucking Fargo accents enough. Sorry, Minnesota fans. The Wild are doing okay this year, though. Right? Minnesota Wild, NHL team from Minnesota, the Wild. Let me check the standings real quick. I know last night the Blues were down 1-0 to Nashville Predators, and then Tarasenko and Backes came back, won it for us in the third period to put down those nasty perverters. I was trying to incorporate pervert into it, and then I realized in the middle of saying it that perverteders makes it sound like I'm making like fun of retarded people more than perverts, and neither one is good, so that was a nice flub. God, I'm a fucking idiot. So Nashville lost, and Blues won. We're still way behind fucking Dallas in the Central Division. Dallas has 48 points, 23-7-2. St. Louis, we're in second place there, 19-10-4. So good record, just... Good Lord. We've been beating all the good teams that we play, for the most part. And we've just been getting butt-fucked by bottom-tier, not-good teams. Like, alright, Philadelphia isn't a bottom-tier team this year, but it's a team that St. Louis should be beating. Like, it's Philadelphia, you don't look at them and go, oh my God, how do they even lace their skates? Like you would a team like Columbus or even fucking Anaheim this year. My God, what happened to Anaheim? Anaheim was a powerhouse last year, and now it looks like there was some sort of secret LA Kings wizard that snuck into their locker room and gave them all, like, estrogen pills. Like that one movie that won't come to mind right now. I don't fucking know. Yeah, God, what was that fucking movie? The guy's taking estrogen pills and he starts getting all moody. He was like the football player. Oh, The Longest Yard. The Longest Yard, where they give that guy, the prison guard, a bunch of estrogen pills over time. And suddenly his like nipples get all puffy and bloated and he's just emotional. And it's like even watching that as a kid, I'm like, that's not cool, man. Like, that's really fucked up. Like, yeah, we're going to win this fucking jail yard game. So go put this harmful substance in the head guard's latte. I don't know why I sound like this. Or why I keep talking like that. I'm going to cough up a lung. Ugh. Got to have a drink. That was an awful, awful feeling voice. Yeah, but even as a kid, I was like, what the fuck are they thinking? Giving that guy estrogen. Like, what if he's with his wife and they're trying to have a kid in his personal life and you just ruined that whole thing? Or the kid has, like... that disorder that some men get, where you get boobs, but you're not a girl, you're a guy, and you get boobs. I think I established that when I said men get it. It's not cool. Shouldn't do that. But that's what it looks like the fucking Anaheim Ducks are doing. They've been just hot garbage this entire season. Tied for last place in the league with Toronto and Columbus. That's pathetic. Anaheim fans, if you're out there, what the fuck is going on? The only game that I've watched of the Ducks was, I believe I watched you guys play Calgary a few weeks ago, and then, of course, I watched you guys play the Blues, where we beat you 2-0, I think. What's going on? What the fuck is happening? If you're a Pacific Conference guy, like if you're a Kings, Sharks, Ducks fan, and you know what's going on better than me here in the Central, then let me know in the comments, because this is fucking embarrassing, Anaheim. You look like a bunch of tards, just bumbling about, just some ice capades, fruity little fuck faces. Awful. Anyway, so F is for Family comes out tomorrow, which is pretty sweet. I don't know. I know no matter what happens with that show, I'm going to support it because Bill Burr is my favorite comedian. And it's like I'll have those rose-colored glasses, so to speak, where it's like no matter what occurs, even if it's kind of shitty or subpar, I'll still be like, give him the benefit of the doubt. That's all right. Whereas if like just a perfect example, Louis C.K.'s show, Louis, he's not one of my favorite comedians. And so when I watched that, I was like really underwhelmed, didn't watch that much of it, didn't think it was that good because I didn't give him that special preference, you know, like what you'll give to certain people, like certain actors, like even there's really likable actors that you'll like their movies no matter what, like Chris Pratt, really likable dude. And then there's some actors that I just can't get the taste of my mouth in my mouth out of my mouth. Good articulation there, Taylor, you fucking retard. I can't get the taste out of my mouth of their bad acting, like Hayden Christensen. And I can't watch a movie with that guy. I get viscerally angry. My stomach starts to hurt. It starts gurgling. I get upset. I get diarrhea, hot sweats, meat sweats, club foot. All of these things just start popping up all over me when I see him on the screen. That stupid smug face where he always looks like he's about to start smirking, but he never starts smirking because he doesn't have an ounce of artistic talent or expression in his thin, thimble body. I hate that guy. I hate it. The whole first, or I guess it was the whole series there of the Star Wars movies like 15 years ago, that when I went to go see it, even as like a 10-year-old, I was still 10 or 11, 12, whenever they all last one came out, I don't know. I was still like, all right, well, this is shitty. I'm a young child, and I think this is a shitty movie, and it has to be a real shitty movie for me as a young child to, first of all, recognize it's shitty if it's about Star Wars, and second, narrow it down to the fact that I thought at the age of 12, Hayden Christensen was what made it shitty the most. If everybody rants and raves and jacks off about how terrible Jar Jar Binks was, I would rather watch the Jar Jar late night show every night for 3 hours on repeat than watch Hayden Christensen bumble through a line to Padme twice. It's just, ugh. The whole, what was that line that he said that took, like, if you're ruining the suspension of disbelief for a child in a theater at a Star Wars movie, then you've really fucking flown off the rails. Because that's what happened when Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor, and Hayden Christensen were fighting at the end of that one, and Ewan McGregor got off and he's like, I have the high ground, Anakin. Apparently that means a lot, even though we can both use super jumps and it hasn't mattered up to this point. But now that I say it, it must matter in combat. And then Anakin's like down there, what was his line? Oh, he goes, you underestimate my power. And then he leaps up and tries to do some stupid little flip, and Obi-Wan just cuts him in half, and he's just laying there screaming like a bitch while his legs are lighting on fire. And like an asshole, Obi-Wan just like turns around and walks away. Like, even though he turned evil, if you cut him in half, basically, and he's laying there burning alive, you wouldn't have the courtesy to just go over and, you know, lop that head off. Just cut the head off for him real quick. It's not that big a deal. Just fucking do it. That's what I would do. I would do that for any of you guys. If we were in an epic sword fight and I brutally brutally maimed you, you can bet your bottom dollar that I would come over there and finish the job. That's something I'd guarantee. That's something that, that VapoLabs would guarantee. The fuck was I saying? I felt like I was going somewhere with all this, and then I just ended up talking about the old Star Wars movies. Oh yeah, the F is for Family thing. It's gonna be a good show, I think. Hopefully, it doesn't go the route that I've seen other comedian shows go, where they forget about the funny and it becomes just a weird kind of self-righteous pulpit to talk about society. And I can't handle Louis because of that, because it's a little bit up its own ass. And Aziz Ansari's show, the same thing of trying too hard to push an agenda of, like, you know, the whole episode will be themed, like, you know, appreciate your parents or whatever. And it's like, okay, I understand why that's a good lesson, but I also am not watching fucking Arthur, and I don't want to watch this played out, trite, just at this point meaningless, because I'm an adult, set of ideals. Because if you haven't figured out how to not treat your parents like shit by the time you're an adult and watching a TV show from a comedian, then you're probably not going to figure it out. You're probably just a piece of shit, sorry. You're probably just a very rude person. And watching Aziz go, what? That'd be crazy. Like, all over the fucking screen isn't going to change that. Man, Dad, how is India? Gee. I just got a high voice, and I just talk about things like this. Randy. Just, that wasn't a good impression. That's what he sounds like in my head. It was a good impression in my head, because voices sound different coming out than when they do in your head. And in my head, that just sounds exactly like Aziz. So, it's a good impression for one person. Not a good skill. So, I know that Woody and Kyle are going to see the Star Wars movie today, I believe. I am not going to go see it. I'll see it eventually, but I'm not fucking going when there's people dressed up and there's, oh, they're going to be so loud. People are going to be, like, yelling inside jokes about the movie. Like, people who are really nerdy, people who are super into it and they read, like, the Star Wars tomes of, like, made up, like fan fiction, erotic fan fiction, people that read that, people that dress up as Wookiees and Ewoks and Boogies or whatever else is in that universe, Tauntauns, Elves, I don't want to be around them. That may sound intolerant, and it by definition it is. I don't want to be around a bunch of people who are dressed up. Like, I don't know why that is. Halloween is the one exception. Another exception... Actually, no. Halloween's the one exception. I don't want to go to Comic-Con. I don't want to go to fucking VidCon or any other con meeting where everybody's dressed up like an elf or a video game character, and then there's, like, the token big fat guy who's dressed up like Kratos from God of War, but really it's just, you know, just a garbage bag full of hot cottage cheese on the front of his body, not that chiseled look that Kratos has, and then the ever popular looking really sexy chick that kinda knows about Battlestar Galactica or something, but she dresses up like you know, the who's from Whore Mountain and just looks completely like a slut walking around with plausible deniability, where if anything goes, if people like the outfit and are like, you look so sexy, she can be, yeah, thank you, I worked hard on it. Or if someone who's ugly and creepy says, oh yeah, I like that outfit, you look sexy, she can suddenly go home and write a blog post about how offensive it was and how being objectified isn't fair. I should be able to walk around borderline naked at a convention featuring people enjoying a hobby that traditionally doesn't do as well with women without feeling objectified. That's just the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel. I should be able to walk around inner city slums with hundreds of dollars pouring out of my pockets and without getting robbed. I should be able to smoke every day and not get cancer. I should be able to... Like, yeah, it'd be great if you could walk around a slum with, like, just fistfuls of hundreds and expect not to get shot or beat up. But it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. And you know that, because you're walking into that situation. You should have thought ahead. If you're dressed up incredibly revealingly, and you go to a public place like that, where there are that many people, even if 99.9% of everyone there is uber polite, there are enough people at places like that that they will be creepy. And then you'll use that as ammunition to pretend like most people there are creepy, which isn't the case, because if it was, it wouldn't have been an idea in your head in the first place to dress up kind of slutty and go traipsing around there, seeking attention for, you know, dressing up as Zelda with one tit hanging out. How did I start talking about this? I don't know, maybe it's just some upset, some anger seeping up, maybe? That's bothered me for a long, long time, when those assholes just take advantage of the fact that you can't call people out for a safe space being horse shit, because everybody needs one now, and just any kind of critique. It's gone from the days of hate being like someone calling you a, you know, fucking N-word or something, and to go die in a fire, and you know, fucking, well, I told Lefty to get to die in a fire a lot of times, but that it's different because I hold myself to a different standard, a double standard, so to speak. Back in the day, it seemed like hate was like taken a lot more, like there was a higher threshold for hatred, where if someone was just kind of poking at you, you'd be like, oh, that guy's just a nuisance. You wouldn't immediately jump to like, hater, you're violating my right to a safe internet space. And now it seems like any critique, not even critique, anything that can be construed as a critique, you can't argue against certain things. I can't, like, in the most recent PKA, what he was talking about, like, Trump saying we need to get rid of all Muslims, and, you know, we shouldn't allow any Muslims into the country. And even saying what I said, which was like, yeah, that he did go too far with shit, but that's also not what he said. He didn't say, no more Muslims in this country. We can't let any more Muslims in this country. Fuck Muslims. Like, no, he didn't say that. The only people I've heard who construe what he said as that are people who are already hard left. People who would do the same thing that I would likely do to Bernie Sanders. If there was if he said anything that was even vaguely incendiary, instead of everything being ho-hum, vanilla-paste, boring, then I would probably, I could cherry-pick quotes from him and say that, because I'm more to the right. And it would just be the same thing, where people just jerk themselves off, thinking that they're coming out ahead, when really you're just kind of misconstruing what candidates are saying, what people are saying, and it's not hating, it's just kind of shitty. How did I get from that to hate? From that to hate. You know what? I don't fucking know. I was talking about politics, so I'm going to stick with it, because that was interesting to me for a second. In all seriousness, though, the whole Trump thing is troubling to me. Like, the fact that he really seems uncomfortable with people who aren't white. That's not even fair to say. He's not uncomfortable around people who aren't white. Probably. It just seems like he is really pushing the line with what he can say, because he's so far in the lead. I think he's getting a little concerned that, like, because I think his initial plan was that he wanted to run, get a huge swath of people to vote for him, and then he would back out and put his support behind someone else, throw his support behind, like, Cruz or Rubio or Bush, Jeb Bush. I don't know what his plan was, but I think that now he's in too deep, and he's an actual contender, and he's starting to panic a little bit, and so he's starting to try and drop little notes of offensiveness that are turning the left off of him even more, turning the right more onto him in certain ways, like old people who are kind of xenophobic and are like, get those Mexicans out of here, the goddamn refried beans and tortillas. All the things to be mad about. I even have to pretend that those are the stereotypes, because otherwise you could be construed as racist. Like, I couldn't even be like, oh, those lazy beaners. Oh, just coming into our country, ruining our state. Oh. It sounded like a ghost at the end. So he wants to build the wall, which isn't that great. I think it's a good idea. Like, why not at least have a wall down there? I always thought it was weird, even growing up, that, like, countries didn't have walls around them anymore. Like, I was always thinking, like, well, what's keeping you out of another country? Like, if I could, I could just walk into Canada. I could just walk into Mexico. I couldn't drive a car or anything, but I could get there. I could sell all my belongings as a Canadian, walk to the U.S. and buy new shit with real American money. And not like that weird plasticky Canadian shit. I don't know. I always thought the country should have walls. But then again, that's coming from the mind of a 12-year-old who would build walls around all of his Lego countries. And so I assume that's what should be done. You know, you got to keep everything neat and spick and span in that in your Lego country. So I don't know. Maybe the wall is a good idea. Maybe it's not. What do you guys think? You think it's good? I don't know. I don't think it's going to solve that much. Because in order for it to solve a fuck ton of illegal immigration, it's going to have to be a real big wall. It's going to have to be a huge wall. Like, they can't... And that's not the way the government does things. It's going to plan a big wall. It's going to plan a success. And then it's going to put some bumfuck, wooden post horse shit with chicken wire. And then maybe a little bit of barbed wire to give it the appearance that it's difficult to climb over, but really people are just using safety scissors to snip right through the brittle metal that, you know, just falls to shit in the elements after a year. I don't think they're going to end up doing the wall. I don't think fucking Trump is going to make it into the White House, which isn't a good thing, and it's also not a bad thing. Like, I want to see him in the White House just because it's fucking funny. Just because it would really bring to the forefront how ridiculous this whole politics thing is. How fucking silly it is that people are getting up in arms about things like this when it doesn't matter. None of this matters. It doesn't matter if we elect Clinton, if we elect Rubio, if we elect... I bet, you know, fucking Huckabee is goddamn crazy, so it might matter if we elect him. He'll probably, like, take us back to the gold standard or make us read the Bible by oil lamp at night. Whale oil, you know, start competing with Japan in the whaling industry because fucking Jonah did it or something. He's a nut job. But for the most part, all the regular candidates, like, they're Republican and Democrat. Nothing's going to change. If Clinton gets in office, it's not going to change. If Bernie Sanders gets in office, which would be hilarious to watch people suddenly realize, oh, shit, these guys don't have as much power as I thought they did. Wait, didn't this happen last time? The whole Obama thing. We were the same people saying Obama would fix stuff. And then it turned out he didn't do any of the things he said. Even after we reelected him, he didn't do anything that he said he would. But for some reason, as soon as he's out of office and fucking old man Bernie is on the stage of potential, people are like, oh, this is our Messiah now. This old Jewish man is the one to bring us into the light. None of them are going to change anything. If any of these presidents would have changed something, fucking Obama would have in the last 8 years. Jesus Christ. Like, everybody was freaking out when he was getting elected in 08 because it was like, wow, this guy's so liberal. Like, man, this guy's way more liberal than presidents we've had before. Woohoo, that's crazy liberal compared to these conservatives we've been having. He even makes Clinton look super conservative. And then he gets in office, and they show him to the back room of knowledge that only the president and high politicians get to know. And he's like, oh shit, I'm really conservative now, either because that's what I believe now, because of reality, or because if I don't, the fucking Koch brothers are going to, you know, bang me in my bed and then put a bullet between my eyes. I think I went through it down a rabbit hole there. I would like it if Trump got elected. I'd like it if any of the Republicans got elected instead of the Democrats, just because I like switching off, you know? Switch off. We had a Republican. We had a Democrat, then we had a Republican. We had Clinton, then we had Bush, and now we had Obama, and now we're going to have, hopefully, Trump. Hopefully Trump. Just exceedingly, that is just a ramp downward of qualifications there, you know? Like, Obama wasn't that qualified, or maybe Obama was about as qualified as, I don't know, Bush was a governor, at least, before he became president. Obama was a junior senator. He'd been a junior senator for like 3 years or something, very not qualified for the job, which probably explains why nothing happened that much during his presidency. Not that much got fixed. If anything, a lot of stuff is worse now. But I can't even say that 100% truthfully or honestly that I know, because I could just go to a fucking website and I could find 20 pages of stats backing up how Obama's a piece of shit, how there are more unemployed people, how the value of the dollar went down, how people were born with smaller dicks during his tenure as president, how boobs are shrinking, how sex has gone down just across the board. People aren't fucking anymore. It's just the whole idea of his presidency has turned them off. And then I could go find another board of 20 pages of stats that's talking about how Obama has saved the country. Obama saved the country. Bush was, you know, going 70 miles an hour towards a brick wall, and Obama jumped over, kicked Bush in the temple, knocked him out of the car, and then did the cool kind of slam on the brakes while turning the wheel to the right, and you kind of Tokyo drift to a stop. That's what, if you could find anything you want on the internet as far as supporting your own beliefs. I don't know. I should stop talking about politics, but because I'm so fucking uninformed that you shouldn't take anything I say seriously. But as of now, I want Trump to get in because it's too funny for it not to happen, and it kind of shines a cruel light on the whole process of electing officials. And once he gets in there and he doesn't do anything either, it's going to become patently apparent to people that, hey, this guy doesn't have that much power. Maybe we should stop concerning ourselves with this one office as much as we do, considering it's not, you know, he's not the fucking king of America. That's not how it works. Anyway, do you have enough listening to me talking about stupid shit all day? Not about politics? You got enough of that? Got your fill? Well, then I'll get on to something else here. All right. Vapolabs. Second read of the day. I should have had that prepared. Did Walter White settle for just $1 million? Did Hitler settle for just 5 million Jews? Never. That's why you should set. You should. Then why should you settle with your shitty gas station e-juice? That is true. The ones that you get at gas stations are horrific. Just like sandwiches that you get at gas stations are like mealy, and you can just picture the dirty fingernails of the, Cambodian child who assembled it, and you know it's gross. Similarly, the grossness of those e-juices at gas stations is apparent. So, introducing Vapolabs.com, and use code MERCA25 for 25% off your order with free shipping. Join me and many others enjoying the best vapor liquid on the market, Vapolabs. Are you ready for Santa's cookies? Once again, fucking Vapolabs, I haven't got a chance to try Santa's cookies, so I'm going to have to keep pimping Nuka Crunch, because that's my favorite one that you've sent me. So maybe send me some Santa's cookies and some Apple, Dr. Good's Apple-O's. If you have to pick one, you know, if the purse strings are tight, then just send me the cookies one, because I don't like apples as much as cookies. I don't think anyone does. You'd have to be a real vegan fuck to say that you like apples more. Apples just aren't that great when you get right down to it, you know? Like, most of them are just a little grainy tasting, and like, pears are grainy tasting, but you expect it. And so it's okay. Like, you expect it to taste a little bit grainy. Apples are supposed to be really, really, like, you bite into it, and it's like opening a soda, where it's like, and it's like, oh my god, that's so crisp, so good. And most of them aren't. Most of them are just shitty, subpar apples that probably Monsanto is growing a ton of and selling them at a markup. Like, there's a bunch of, like, Mexican laborers doing it, and meanwhile, we're eating shitty apples. So it's a lose-lose-lose, or lose-lose-lose-win, because Monsanto gets a win. Do they even do apples? I don't fucking know. Have one of sugar cookies with sweet... Oh, are you ready for Santa's cookies? Have one of Santa's sugar cookies with sweet buttercream icing and reindeer-shaped sprinkles. No matter what flavor you decide on, don't forget about juice rewards. Just buy a few bottles and then get one free. It's that easy. So go ahead, pick up a bottle of e-juice from the only company that will give you free stuff. Now with free goddamn shipping, all caps. U.S. exclusive, in parentheses. Vapolabs. Science, bitch. Please use responsibly. Must be 18 years old to purchase. Use this product. California Proposition 65. This product contains nicotine. Don't forget, use the code MERCA25 for 25% off e-juice with free shipping. Only at Vapolabs.com. Check that link below and give them your business, because they are good guys to work with, and their juice tastes great. Oh, top-notch juice from Vapolabs. I'm loving it. I'm sorry if I'm in a goofy mood today. I'm so sleep-deprived. Melissa returned home to her family for Christmas, so I've got the run of the house for the next, over a week now, because she's not back till the 26th or 27th, one of those two. I should probably know that because I'm picking her up from the airport. But I had to. I was up late last night doing PKA, and then, which is another long fucking episode. Which we gotta settle down on that because pretty soon, 5 hours is gonna be the new expectation. And then if that's the new expectation, it's not fucking special, you know. Like 4 hours isn't special anymore because it's been done so many times. 5 hours, 3 weeks in a row. That's bad business. Bad business. It's like having Black Friday for a whole month, you know, which a lot of companies are doing now, and it's not really increasing profits that much, based on this conjecture that I'm saying. Yeah, so we got to simmer down there. But anyway, I'm in a goofy mood because I'm so fucking tired. I was up super late doing PKA. I had to drive her to the airport at like 4 in the fucking morning today. I got back, started trying to, or like didn't even take a nap for a couple hours, just like sat on the couch looking at Call of Duty, like, but barely even playing, just like in a stupor of like, oh my god, I'm so tired but I can't fall asleep. Like, you know when you've taken NyQuil, like if you take NyQuil quite a bit of it and then like 5 minutes after you take it you're like, fuck, I gotta get this something done real quick, and you go and you try and get something done while you take while you've taken like probably too much NyQuil. That's the way I fall asleep when I have a cold, is I take too much NyQuil. It's a great time, I encourage it. And then you just feel kind of zoned out and like almost loopy, like you're high or something. That's how it is. That's how I'm almost feeling right now. Is I'm high on no sleep. Jesus Christ! Like even my I got my glasses this week. I was gonna complain about how my eyes are like so heavy, but like at the same time when I close them they almost burn. That's probably because according to my eye doctor, I've been wearing my contacts way too fucking much. He really scolded me. I was like, I always lie to my doctors because you know I'm a person, and I don't want to admit to the things that I do. So he was like, how often do you take your contacts out? And I was like, you know, here and there. He's like, so probably every night? You take them out every night? I was like, oh, you know, maybe a couple times a week, which is a complete lie. I've gone probably 5 weeks in a row leaving the same contacts in my eyes, sleeping in them for that long, just abusing the shit out of them. If you were to anthropomorphize my eyes, they would be beaten women that I just yell at and beat the shit out of, especially my left eye. My right eye would be the one that, like, kind of had, like, Stockholm Syndrome. So she would be, like, all cool with me and kind of gang up with me against my left eye. And my left eye has been crippled for years. There was a savage beating years ago for her not doing the job I needed her to do, and I just beat the shit out of her. That's the anthropomorphized version of my eyes. What the fuck? What does that even mean, Taylor? God, you need to get to the fucking questions, you jackass. All right, so on to these questions. There's a shit ton of them this week. There have been for the last 2 weeks. So a lot of these, especially the Patreon fellas, if you guys are a patron, you are going to get the bonus episode within the next few days. And if you're one of the $20 and up Patreons, their meeting with us is tomorrow afternoon. You guys should have gotten that that little message on Patreon by now. So tomorrow afternoon is that. If you 20 a month, you're in on that. 5 or more a month, and you're in on the bonus episode, in which a lot more questions are going to be answered. So check the Patreon link, if you feel so inclined, and that would be great. Thanks a lot. So, questions. Hey, Mirka, I'd like to remain anonymous. I want to know how to break up with my girlfriend who suffers from depression and anxiety. Our relationship hasn't been on the best terms recently, but every time I bring myself to do it, I get scared of how she'd react because of her mental illness. I really like her, but I'm 20, and I want to fuck other girls, and I refuse to cheat. That's all the excuse you need, man. That's all the fucking excuse you need. That's what you want to do, just do it. It doesn't help that I am literally her only friend. No, that doesn't help. Makes you feel kind of accountable. She doesn't do much without me, so if I break up with, she'll nobody to speak about it. Thanks in advance. Yeah, well, it's not about her, dude. Sorry, this is how relationships are. If it's not, you know that you're not going to suddenly fall in love with this girl again. You're wasting both of your time by staying in this. It's better for you and better for her in the long run if you just nip this and, you know, stop wasting your time with her. And she can stop wasting her time with you. Because just like your modus operandi is to get sex because you're a young man, her modus operandi is to get a man to commit to her. It's commitment. Men treat sex like women treat commitment. You know, you have to work for it. You have to prove that you're worthy of it. So you're wasting each other's time because you're not getting what you want from her, and she's not getting what, or she's not going to get what she wants from you. That's a very oversimplified version of relationships in reality, but it does hold true for the most part. Next one. Hey, Taylor. Lately, I've been feeling like, what's the point of living, and suicidal thoughts. I feel like I'm ugly and have nothing I'm good at and that I'm going to go nowhere in life. What should I do? I know I've been rambling. And Jesus, dude, you've been going for like a sentence and a half. You don't have to act like you've been rambling. I know I've been rambling, and this probably doesn't make sense, but I just don't know what to do, and I'm sorry for putting this heavy shit on you. Thanks in advance. Oh, wow. A couple people in a row saying thanks in advance. That's very nice of you. Honestly, dude, like, I think everybody gets those thoughts every so often where it's like, what's the point in living? I don't think most people get suicidal thoughts. Like, everybody's thought of, like, man, if I killed myself, what would happen? Like, would I go somewhere? Would I just be dead? Would people miss me? Like, you have those thoughts, but that's distinctly different from being like, I'm fantasizing almost about killing yourself. If you are thinking about killing yourself, dude, that's not only fucked up, but it's really fucked up to do to everyone in your life. Even if you think there's no point in living, there are people in your life that care about you, no doubt. And by doing that, that's really putting the onus of your life and your choices onto them and making them dread and worry and be anxious constantly about what they could have done, what they should have done, even if that wasn't your intent. Even if your intent is, this is nobody's fault but my own, I just can't handle life, and you end it. That's not what they're going to think. They're going to think that they failed in some way, and that's a really shitty predicament to leave people in. So please do not do that. I would hope that you don't, because that's just way too far. 10 years from now, when you're fucking, you know, doing whatever you're doing, maybe you have not even the dream job that you want. Maybe your chick isn't as attractive as you thought she would be. But there's a lot of fun moments between now and 10 years from now. Like, the vacations, the times at the bars with your friends, the girls you're going to bang, like, just meaningful sit-downs with your parents or grandparents or something, getting to enjoy the elders in your family, just all these things that you don't really think about, you are going to be removing yourself from those forever and the other people in your family's lives. And that's a really selfish, awful thing to do. Not to say it's your fault that you're feeling this way, but you should, you know, really think things like this through before you choose to go in on it. Please don't, man. What you should do is try and find a new hobby or a new interesting thing to take up, which I guess is a hobby, you fucking idiot. Try something that, you know, are you into strategy games? Like, into video games? You must be into video games. You've watched my channel. Are you into strategy games? Get some friends. Play Settlers of Catan. Play a board game. Get into Magic the Gathering. Get into, go play some pickup hockey, pickup basketball at the YMCA. Whatever you want to do, just find something to keep yourself busy and occupied. That's what I do when I get anxious, is I really try and fill my time with shit to do, because it's harder for me to be as anxious when I have a ton of shit to do. If I'm just sitting around festering and I'm not that busy, the anxiety will just creep up on me and ruin whatever fun I am having. So that's really shitty, and I don't enjoy that. Best of luck to you, bud. Am I an asshole? Ho-ho, I bet you are. I would like to remain anonymous. All right. Steve. Oh, his name isn't even Steve. To begin, I am 18 years of age. A buddy of mine who is of similar age was driving me to a shopping complex in order to buy gifts for the upcoming holidays. As we were beginning to voyage back home, you're saying it like you're on the fucking Pinto and the Santa Maria. No, the Pinta. Oh, God, I'm an idiot. The Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, right? That's what old Christopher Columbus genocide face rode over on. Is that right? Did I make that up? The Nino, the Pinto, and the Pinta? Pinto is that car from Ford that would explode in the 70s if you got rear-ended. Pinta is what that genocidal Spaniard rode over on, bamboozled all of the Aztecs or whatever, and then said, ah, fuck yourself. This is mine now. It's fucking mine now. Take a smallpox blanket and, you know, fuck your savage wife. I am civilized. Die. Man, that's so fucked up what they did. But, oh my God, I'm sorry. You were in the middle of, like, asking for advice. As we were beginning our voyage back home, my friend had noticed two seemingly attractive girls stopped at a red light in front of us. Seemingly attractive. Are they men? We were both. Oh, they're probably. You're looking from behind. Like those times when you see a girl and you're like, that's a nice ass. And then she turns around and she's like 11. You're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm gross. But you can't tell. Because some kids look much, much older than they are. And it's very difficult to tell from behind. I jokingly said to my friend, I'll just get out of the car and knock on the window to see if they're cute. The light turned green shortly after. Still curious of where these girls landed on the official hotness scale, we both simultaneously peered through the car window to gaze at these ladies when we passed them. We both had determined that they were, in fact, 7 out of 10s. Very good. That's passing. C-. We did not think much of these girls after our paths had diverged. However, you can imagine our surprise when we somehow ended up behind them once again. We stopped at a red light and found ourselves behind the same... God, can you guys throw some fucking paragraphs in here? We stopped at the red light and found back in the same scenario. This time, my friend was coaxing me to get out of the car and ask one of them for their numbers. Hey, what's your number? Consequently, I unbuckled my seatbelt and opened the door. I felt very uncomfortable as I jumped out of the car and rapidly approached their passenger side window from behind. Yeah, yeah, I bet they were really comfortable. You were the one who was really uncomfortable there. The comfortable people were the two girls who were walking this maniac who'd been following them twice in their eyes, speed walking at their window. Just eyes big as saucers, staring like a lunatic. I knocked on their window, and the young girl turned with great shock as she noticed me. With great shock. I realized my error immediately when I looked at the face of the girl on the passenger side. I knew she was young and could be considered jailbait. Recognizing I am already too deep in the situation, I asked them to roll down their windows. So you go up, you see that she's got like a My Little Pony wristlet on, and she's got one of those see-through backpacks with a bunch of colored pencils in it, and you're like, I'm in too deep now. Hey, little girl, roll down the window. This is looking like you're in the clear here. Jesus Christ, dude, what are you thinking at this point? Knowing that the light would turn green in any second, I stood there on the side of the road with great anticipation. I observed the girl's hesitant and frankly terrified expression as she rolled down her window only halfway. Lost for words and struck by adrenaline, I simply asked, hey, sorry to bother you, but can I have one of your numbers? What the fuck are you thinking, dude? You don't immediately bail when it turns out that it's a child? Maybe not a child, but like if you can look at him in the face and see, alright, this is the face of someone who would tweet about being a 90s kid and have been born in like December of 98. Dude, you're gonna end up in prison. Actually, 98, December of 98, that's like 17 now. Jesus Christ. Is that 17? Yeah. Maybe, or like born in 2002 or whatever the case would be. Yeah, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I'm enjoying the story because I just can see every juncture at which I would turn around. First of all, I wouldn't get out of the car and walk up to someone's door like a serial killer. Hey, can I have your number? Yeah. I collect women's scalps. I have a whole collection of them. I have... Oh, Jesus. That must have been so creepy for these poor girls. I'm just giving you shit, man. I'm sure it was funnier than it was creepy. Her voice... A few moments passed. Wait. But can I have one of your numbers? A few moments passed, and the girl driving answered. She was clearly older by approximately 2 to 3 years. Her voice reeked with disgust and confusion as she proclaimed the word no. Knowing that I acted like a psychopath, I completely understood why she had that response. Yeah, you should. I replied with a lame, okay, and quickly back to what they thought that they were telling their friends how they had an encounter with one of the creepiest autistic people in history. Oh, there was a short bus right next to us in traffic, and one of those fuckers must have got out, and he came right up to our car and asked for our numbers. I ran back to my friend's car. The fact that you said ran makes this so much better, that you briskly walked like a serial killer over to these poor girls' car, tell this young girl to roll down the window, you ask for their number, and what I can only assume is like, hey, just wanted to, you know, can I get your number? Get your number? Huh? Is that okay? And then the girl is just visibly uncomfortable. She's got a stomachache imagining how this can go wrong. Her older sister, or whoever... lesbian partner, for all you know, Mr. Presumptuous, tells you to fuck off, and then you sprint back to your friend's car. Like, and they're gonna be talking to their friends about that, and wondering if that ever actually happened, because that's like a almost like a dream thing. I don't think you've been like an... Oh, I need to finish this. As I sat in the car, I processed what happened and was very aware that there were several correct ways to go about asking them for their numbers, and I chose none of them. As the light turned green and we were back on our way, my friend laughed incessantly. I laughed at my utter ineptitude, too. As we continued to follow them awkwardly for the longest 10 miles of my life, I feebly attempted to persuade my friend to abandon our route home to save myself from the embarrassment, but he was just having too much of a good time. Finally, our paths separated once again. So, Taylor, were my actions of assholeist proportions? Thank you for reading. I love your podcast. You weren't an asshole. It was definitely just something that you shouldn't do. Like, it is, it's a little douchey, but that's like a couple gradients below asshole. Like, if when they said no, you had done something to, like, oh, why not? Like, come on. Like, done something like that, then yeah, that would put you into asshole territory. This is just a little upsetting. Like, because I'm picturing myself, like, as a little girl in there, and then some man just comes up and... Oh, man. I guess you're only 18, so it wasn't like you were looking at a... Like, she was seeing a, you know, someone in their 30s or 40s. oh, that was good. Hey, Taylor, keep this anonymous, dude, please! Nobody wants their name shared. Really enjoying the podcast so far. Keep up the awesome work. Anyways, I am a freshman in college and have never creamed the corn. So I guess you haven't got it in yet. Is that what that means? Creamed the corn? What are some other words? Creamed the corn. You haven't shucked the husk yet. You haven't baked the bean. Nope, I'm already out. None of those sound good. However, that might be changing because there are some pieces falling into place, if you know what I'm saying. Yes, there are only two pieces involved, and one of them is about to be falling on your dick. Now the issue presents itself. I used to be really obese. I went from 308 to 180 after years of jogging and working out. Good for you, man. Good for you. And I'm left with a good bit of extra skin on my chest, legs, and stomach. Nothing grotesque or flying squirrel-like, but definitely noticeable. Should I just own it and act like it doesn't bother me, or should I just... asked to keep my shirt on like a little bitch. Honestly, don't keep your shirt on because that's going to make it more uncomfortable for both of you because she's not going to know why. Just take the shirt off and just own it. Don't even mention it. If she brings it up later, be like, oh yeah, man, I used to be heavy. I lost a lot of weight though. You know, I'm glad to be healthier. Just don't play it up like it's a big thing. Don't apologize for it. Just that's the way it is and that's what's going on. And you gotta not wear the shirt though, because I mean you're having sex. Like, if you're having sex in like a changing room at Macy's, then yeah, you don't want to take your shirt off just in case you don't have to make a speed escape. But you're on a couch or on a chair or on a counter or in a bed or something, I assume. And so yeah, just take your shirt off. Don't be that guy who's like naked but you still have your white socks and your wife beater on. Like that's no. All right, truly terrible podcast. God, can you guys throw some fucking punctuation? Not punctuation. Paragraph breaks. Paragraph breaks, please. It's incredibly difficult to read these. Truly terrible podcast. I'd like to be anonymous. Fucking course you would. Everybody would. Nobody wants to know that. Nobody wants their friends to know they listen to this shit show. Hey Taylor, longtime fan. I'd like to ask for some advice, and And I don't mind if it's not on the show, but this has been on my mind for almost 2 months now, and I don't know what to do about it. This may be a little long, so bear with me. So to start, I am a recent high school grad, and I've completed my first semester in an engineering college. Good for you, man. Near the end of October, I went through some serious girl drama with escalated so bad, and as a result, it's definitely over. Not even a day after that, I run into a girl from my old high school who was with her boyfriend. Let's call her Lisa. We had a very short talk, and I moved on with my day. Later that night, Lisa messaged me on Facebook saying that she saw me at the mall, and we started talking. We talked for maybe a little over an hour, and she starts opening up to me about her past. Uh-oh! She's taking the first step to infidelity. She's going to cheat on her boyfriend with you. Maybe. Apparently, she had been a victim of sexual assault multiple times. That's something that you bring up to people as soon as you reconnect with them. Oh, hey, good to see you again. Oh, yeah, how's school going? Oh, it's going really good. You know, how are grades? Our dorm's a little bit messy, but whatever. I was sexually assaulted 9 times last year. Oh, that's excellent. Well, let's have an extensive conversation right by the Orange Julius about this. What the fuck? This chick This is already looking to be risky business. Why would this come up over Facebook chat unless it's either one, she's too damaged from this for you to get involved with, or two, this is some kind of weird, perverted attempt to get attention for that. Because there's no other reason to bring this up. Victim of sexual assault multiple times, and she said that it was even from a guy from her high school. Me being a little nosy fuck, I started asking her who it was. You weren't being that nosy, dude. If she didn't want you to ask, she wouldn't have brought it up. She wanted you to ask. Yeah, and from what I can tell right here, dude, when you say, me being a nosy little fuck, I started asking her who it was, and since I am trustworthy, she tells me. I don't doubt that you're trustworthy, but I would bet, you know, not 10 grand. I'd bet a grand that you are not the first guy, acquaintance slash ex-high school friend who's a guy that she has told about this in exactly the same way. I guarantee. Because you do not, there was no reason for you to be the first guy that she would tell about this, which means that you're not the first guy. Like, you weren't super close or anything in school. Which means that she's told plenty of other guys before you about this, and the fact that she just brought it up willy-nilly means that she wanted you to ask her about it. Like, this is weird. There's some kind of underhanded manipulative tactic in the background here, because there's no reason rationally to bring that up, especially if you're reconnecting with someone. It seems almost like she's already making an excuse for why she's going to cheat on her boyfriend. Or she might. You know, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm filling in, like, this is like a mad gab or mad lib or whatever. I'm just filling in things that maybe aren't there, but I think that I'm onto something here. It turns out to be a former best friend of mine from the end of elementary. We had not ended their friendship on good terms. Let's call him Rick. Rapist Rick. She starts telling me that she broke up with a boyfriend during the summer, with a boyfriend during the summer, and she was hanging out with the girlfriend, let's call her Mindy, and Rick at her house. Soon after, Mindy ends up going home, and it was just both Lisa and Rick alone in the room. Lisa was still upset, and Rick offered a hug to comfort her. As they hug, Rick starts pinning her to the bed while he's on top and tries to take her pants off. She felt his dick, and she starts kicking and screaming, and eventually he got off. She then kicks him out of the house, and that was the end of it. He later messaged her to apologize, but she didn't accept the apology, and that was the end of it. It ended twice. Wow. She asked me if she should report him to the authorities, and I straight up said yes. She said, not only because I think it was sick what this bastard did, but also because the guy for the past 4 years has been trying to ruin my reputation by spreading the word that I'm a school shooter. And he has spread the... I'm sorry. I know that's like a big deal, like, to get you to be a school shooter, but... He's just telling people, hey, have you met Stevie over here? Man, great guy, really good at Halo Reach, but woo, school shooter if I've ever seen one. Well, see you later. Like, spreading word that I'm schools. Like, if they spread the word that you masturbated in the shower after gym, that could fly, because there's not a literal smoking gun of evidence for it. Like, someone can make that up and try and get some traction for it, but saying that you're a school shooter, you could just say, no, I've never shot a school. And they'll go, you know what, the fact that you're still in school lends a lot of credence to that theory. okay. All right. I thought that I was... Fuck, goddamn. If we had paragraphs, I could know where I was joining back in. School shooter, which of course I'm not, just because I enjoy the occasional hunting with my family, which he is aware of. He has ruined multiple relationships of mine, but after kicking his ass back in the day, I thought that just leaving it alone would be better, and it definitely was. After Lisa told me this, she starts hitting on me in a wild turn of events and said we should Netflix and chill. She's saying this all with a boyfriend. She says that she wants to give her boyfriend another month before breaking up with him. What the fuck? Give him another month. In other words, I'm gonna see how things go with you, and if it is worse than what I currently have, I'm going to leave myself. I'm going to keep holding onto that branch. Right now, she's got one branch in her hand, her boyfriend, and she's swinging for a second branch. You're the second branch. She wants to do that thing that you can do on the monkey bars where you hold two hands on two different bars before you do the swing. She doesn't want to let go of the boyfriend and then have it not work out from you, because then there's no monkey bar to grab. But if she holds on to her boyfriend and holds on to you, if it turns out that you're better than her boyfriend, she will release her boyfriend, and then she'll swing from you to whatever's next. This is a really toxic kind of behavior, and that's not victim blaming or anything. I'm not saying that it's not awful that she was assaulted. What I'm saying is that this kind of behavior of, I'm going to give my boyfriend another month, and meanwhile, you and I will be seeing each other, or we'll be fooling around or whatever. Even if that's not what she meant, that's what's going to happen. And it's also an incredibly underhanded, manipulative, and shameless tactic. Really disrespectful to her boyfriend, too. Yeah, this is a whole fucking barrel of monkeys that you do not want to get involved in. Guaranteed. Me being vulnerable from... She would give her boyfriend another month before breaking up with him. Me being vulnerable from the breakup, all I said in regards to that is, message me when you have broken up with him, and then we'll talk about all that. Good for you. I'm tired of being in drama, and I'd rather avoid all that and play it safe with someone who isn't in a relationship. Good for you, this guy. Coming in hot with knowledge. After all that she said, she would report him, and the convo comes to a close. This has now been a month and a half ago, and as far as I know, she had not reported him, and Rick is still roaming the streets. I really want to report this sicko to the police by showing the convo about the assault and leaving it at that, but she specifically told me not to tell anyone and not to confront him about it. This could ruin his life, and he could get 6 months to 5 years in jail. I have asked multiple people about what to do, and I wanted to ask you for some advice, and what would you do in this situation? Love the videos, and keep it up. Thank you for reading this excruciatingly long message. Well, thank you for the encouragement there about the show. I'm glad you're enjoying. First of all, do not get involved with this girl. Do not. The fact that she has been purportedly sexually assaulted and didn't go to the police, didn't even really tell anyone for the most part other than you and probably a couple other guys and girls and friends, it seems almost like she's keeping that in her back pocket for just in case, you know, which if he didn't actually, like, he assaulted her, but he didn't rape her, and there's not going to be any evidence to prove that he did do that, because I'm sure there wasn't a camera in the room or anything, so it does make sense from her standpoint to be like, well, yeah, that happened, but why bring all this up and rake, you know, my own name, or his name through the coals, and get myself a bunch of unneeded anxiety if I know nothing's going to come of it. So that could be the situation. So it's not victim blaming there. What is blaming her is, this is a really fucked up, weird situation of, I'll give my boyfriend another month, and meanwhile, let me swing on the monkey bars and grab a hold of you. I'm just going to, you know, kind of see, it's all about me. It's about what I want, and what guy can facilitate all of my needs and do everything I want like a puppet. Don't report it's not your place to report the supposed assault. It is not the alleged assault. That's the word for it. That's law talk. Cliff Hutchinson on the case. It's not your place to do that, so do not do that. Also, it is not your place to be with a chick who is in a relationship currently, and that's really respectable that you already knew that. Seems like for the most part you're doing well on this, but I would encourage you to completely cut off contact with this other girl. Just from what you've said, and I can tell that you think she's cute or you like her a little bit, so you're kind of giving her the benefit of the doubt in a lot of these situations, but it seems risky. Just the way you've described it makes it seem like she is manipulative, and as soon as anything even remotely better comes around, you are going to be yesterday's news. Absolutely. Alright, so I will do... I will do one more of these, and then I'll call it a day. Advice for rumor-spreading bitch. Hey, Taylor, my name is Chris, and I'm soon 17, and from Norway. Wow, that's awesome. You have good English for being from Norway. More commas so far than I've seen in a lot of the messages. Been a fan since the Black Ops 1 days, and really enjoy you on PKA and your new podcast. English is not my first language, so be gentle. I'm blown away that this is how good you can write English. So, me and this girl have been friends for 6 years. I've never really been into her, but I love her as a friend. We both are, and have dealt with struggles at home and depression, so we talk about that a lot. So one night, she asked me to come over and talk. I said that was fine, but I just needed to clean the house. After throwing myself around the house for 15 minutes to clean, I come back to a message saying that she can't come over anyways. Ah, I'm kind of bummed, but it's okay. So I decide, whatever. I clean the house. Let's invite my grandparents for some dinner. When I come back from the store with my grandparents on the way, she says she is coming either way. I just tell her I can't now because I made other plans. She, knowing that I am antisocial and don't have plenty of friends, calls me a liar. Well, this escalated really quickly. Also, thank you for putting paragraph breaks. So easy to read. I should add, you got me thinking about me and she's... I should add, you got me thinking about me and she's... her relationship, okay, she's, I think you mean her relationship, when you talked about giving as much as you get one or two episodes ago. I ended up at no, so I'm not getting back what I'm giving. Nope. That's something that a lot of guys, guys complain about the friend zone all the time, but it's like, you are responsible for putting yourself there in a lot of ways. The woman, they can't make you pay attention to them and do all these things for them, in exchange for nothing. You allow yourself to be taken advantage of. So if you think you're in that kind of position where you're like, you know, oh no, I'm not in the friend zone, you know, we're just good friends. Look at the friendship the same way you would look at a friendship with one of your male friends. Are you getting as much as you're giving? If every time you go to a store or a bar with one of your guy friends and you end up picking up the tab or at least 3/4 of it and you're buying the taxi and you are doing things and at the end of the night she's going home or he's going home and fucking someone else and not well hopefully okay that fell apart right there because you want to be fucking him, goddammit. If he's not reciprocating any attention or money to these events, like if you're the one bringing the video games and you're the one hosting all the events, you're the one paying for food, eventually you're gonna be like, well, fuck you, dude. Like, I am giving way more than I'm getting in this friendship, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it at this point. That's how it should be for all these people in your life. The women, too, like what you're talking about. Guaranteed, you stepped back, you looked, and you thought, what am I getting out of this? And what is she getting out of this? She's getting attention. She's getting an emotional tampon that she can download all of her insecurities onto. And just vent with no ramifications and no accountability. Meanwhile, she would never be there to listen to your problems or your emotional issues. I guarantee when you talked about these, your issues with depression and her issues with depression, I'd bet you $500 that the overwhelming majority of those conversations revolve around her issues, her problems, and how you can understand those problems. But it's not about your problems directly. It's about her. I would wager that pretty highly. She gets back to the story. She gets mad at me for lying to her and tells me that she got it bad right now. I can't tell her to go to my other friend. She told me no and that I should never talk to her anymore. At this point, I don't know why, but I snapped. I said, you know what? Happily, I'm not getting back what I'm giving. If I skip school one day, you get fucking mad at me. I got more than enough to think of. If I skip school one day, you get fucking mad at me. I regret my wording, but then she decides to go to my classmates, which is 85% girls that love to spread rumors since I go to a health school, and lied about what I said. She told them I called her a fucking burden and I didn't want to see her anymore. Oh my goodness, who would have thought? Who would have thought that she was only in the friendship with you for her own selfish reasons, and that as soon as she could get attention somewhere else by manipulating the situation, she did? How... color me shocked. For me, being an antisocial person in a class full of girls who believe anything you tell them is hard enough to get along with them, now I wonder both if I'm an asshole and where I should go from here. I thought of the screenshot of what I said, but we use a Norwegian messaging system. In this, if one deletes messages, it gets deleted from both people, which she did. If you read this on the show, thanks in advance. You're welcome. Not in advance, right now. you were not an asshole. You responded in kind. She initiated being bitchy, and you responded to a bitchy person. You were kind of a dick, yeah, but that's different than being an asshole. An asshole is when it's unwarranted. You can be a warranted dick, you know? Like, you are being a dick because it's warranted, because she was a cunt to you, so you had to be a dick in return. You don't have to be an asshole in return by just, you know, calling up things into question about, like, oh, yeah, well, I hope your mom slaps you again, you whore. Like, but you brought up a dick thing, which was like, hey, I'm not getting out what I'm putting into this. I'm sorry, we're done. That's just stating truth. It's not out of the way to hurt them. It's not overly dramatic. It's just
honest. So I think you were, you know, a dick, but you weren't an asshole, and I commend it. So anyway, best of luck with that. And good Lord, being in a health school with that many women, you're going to be ganged up on all the time, and you'll never be right about anything. So sorry about that, man. That fucking blows. Anyway, that's all that I got. Check out the Patreon, check out the sponsor, and check out the Fallout Let's Play that we're struggling to keep going right now because she is out of town. Anyway, that's it.